Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies. This is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes Alum. This week, Chaye Sarah. This week, Rabbi Meir Schweiger discusses Chaye Sarah. Rabbi Meir Schweiger is a senior faculty of the Pardes Institute and also serves as the Pardes Mashkiach Ruchani, the spiritual guide for Pardes. And now, Rabbi Meir Schweiger.
Thank you, Larry. This week's parsha is Parshat Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah. We would have expected that with these opening words, the Torah would now present us with a full-length story of the life of Sarah, or at the very least, a story that would give us insight into who Sarah was. So what a disappointment it is that the only thing which the Torah tells us is how long she lived, 127 years. In the next pasuk, when the Torah tells us, and Sarah died in Hebron, and Abraham came to eulogize her, to cry for her, what a benefit it would have been if the Torah had recorded the eulogy of Abraham. We can only imagine how Abraham would have gone on and on, speaking of the glory of his wife. As we know from our own experience, in many eulogies, when all of a sudden people reflect and then bring out a whole picture of an individual, which very often was hidden from us, or which we didn't pick up on. But we have no record of this eulogy. So today, what I would like to do is to make an attempt to investigate who was Sarah and what made her so great. So let's begin with the first picture we have of Sarah in the Torah. And that is at the end of chapter 11. And at that point in time, she is not Sarah. She is Sarai. The first time she is mentioned, it's as the wife of Avram. And not only the wife of Avram, the barren wife of Avram, who has no child, or perhaps it should be translated, who is incapable of having a child. Fascinating that the Torah, at the very outset, wants to accentuate that point. But perhaps by accentuating exactly that point, the Torah is trying to tell us what ultimately will be the contribution of Sarah to the Jewish people. She is the mother of the heir. And that's what I would like to examine as we go along in this podcast. So perhaps let's start with chapter 15 in the book of Bereshit. After Abraham has a tremendous military victory over four kings, God comes to him and says, Avraham, don't be afraid. I will be your shield. Your reward is great. And we've discussed this in other podcasts, but right now I want to focus on one thing, and that is Avraham's response. Avraham says, what can you give me? And I am going childless. The steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And then he says it a second time, you haven't given me seed. And this member of my household will be my heir. And then God takes Avram outside and says to him, look at the stars. Thus will be your seed. It's very clear in this section that Avram is very concerned that he's not having a child, and even more so, that he doesn't have an heir. And God reassures Avram. In the continuation of this section, God also unilaterally commits himself to giving Avraham's children the land of Israel, a gift which is absolute. And this is done in the context of the covenant between the parts. Now, why am I mentioning all this? Because all this is the background for chapter 16. If the whole discussion in chapter 15 is that Avraham will have an heir, and that heir will be given the land of Israel, guaranteed. Where does Sarai fit in this? And all of a sudden, chapter 16, we begin to get a glimpse into who this person is. Up to this point, Sarai is a very passive figure. Things seem to be happening around her. We don't find anything that she actively does. She has no voice. All of a sudden, chapter 16, she becomes proactive. And I think her being proactive is a response to chapter 15. Chapter 16 begins, and Sarai did not give birth to Avram. And I would say that Sarai is very acutely aware, or perhaps I should say, is very much asking herself the question, do I actually have a role in this covenant? Where do I fit in? She is not giving Avram a child. And then all of a sudden, Sarai speaks, and not only speaks, but acts. And Sarai says to Avram in chapter 16, God has withheld me from having a child. Come unto my maidservant, and I will be built up through her. Essentially what she's doing is offering her maid, Hagar, to Avram, to be his wife, to bear him a child. But the purpose of that is so that she will be built up. I would like to suggest a number of points regarding this, which give me an insight into who Sarai is. The first point, she clearly has a belief in God. She mentions God by name. Not only does she have a belief in God, but she has a belief in a personal God, a God who intervenes in one's life. She sees her state of barrenness is not just being a fact of life. God has consciously withheld her from having a child. And therefore she sees that this is perhaps a test, a challenge to her. What can she do, as Rashi says, to merit having a child? I would even add that her suggestion, in a way, is a kind of sacrifice. Sarai is willing to sacrifice her relationship with Avraham to introduce into that relation a third wheel so that Avraham will finally be able to have a child with the hope that maybe by doing that, God will give her her own child. And the continuation of the story is that, yes, Avraham takes Hagar to be his wife. She has a child called Ishmael. There, in fact, is a lot of tension in this triangle, and Sarah does not necessarily handle the situation well, to the point where she afflicts Hagar, eventually causing her to run away. But what we see is she speaks, she's proactive, and evidently the issue of having a child is at the core of her being. Interestingly enough, despite certain negative features which Sarah displays in this chapter, the next chapter, chapter 17, becomes central to the life of Sarah. In chapter 17, we have a second covenant, the covenant of Brit Milah. The covenant of Brit Milah is essentially where Avraham becomes the first Jew. But what's important is it's also the covenant where Sarah becomes the first Jewess. And it's also the place where we then see the role of Sarah in the Jewish people. What makes me say that Brit Milah is when Avram becomes the first Jew? Because for men, this is their distinguishing feature that makes them Jewish. A man who converts does a Brit Milah, although he also goes to the mikveh, but the Brit Milah is what really stands out in the conversion process. Add to that, Avram's name is changed at this point to Avraham, which reflects the fact he is a new person. He has now made that shift of identity. In that very section, Sarai does not perform a Brit Milah, but God goes out of his way to emphasize the parallel phenomenon which is now happening with her. Her name is also being changed. She is no longer Sarai, she is Sarah. She also will be blessed in the same way that Avram is being blessed. But what's even more important is that God makes it perfectly clear in this section, the covenant will be passed on to Isaac. And the reason why the covenant is passed on to Isaac is because he is the son of Sarah. So that something which was not clear from chapter 12, namely, that God promises Avraham throughout, you will have a child, you will become a great nation, all the different promises which are made to him. But that's all to Avraham. What about Sarah? This is the first time when it's made explicitly clear that everything which God has been saying all along is not just about Avraham, it's about Sarah. At this point in time, it's clear Although Hagar married Abraham, he took her to be his wife. God does not refer to Hagar as the wife of Abraham. Sarah is the wife of Abraham. Sarah is not only his wife. Sarah is his life partner. Sarah is his soulmate. The rabbis already see this in the beginning of Parshat Lech Lecha, when Abraham initially makes his journey to leave his ancestral home, to come into the land of Canaan. It says that Abraham took Sarai, his wife, he took Lot, his nephew, he took all their possessions, and he took the souls which they had made in Haran. And the rabbis take that literally, souls which they had made. And in a rabbinic comment, which Rashi quotes, they say Abraham converted the men, Sarah converted the women. Obviously, it doesn't mean they were converts to Judaism. They were quote-unquote converts to monotheism. But the point which the rabbis want to make is that it isn't just about Abraham. Abraham and Sarah are a team. They have a joint mission. And in chapter 17, it becomes clear that Sarah's mission is to establish the child of the covenant. She is the one who is the mother of the heir. She is the one who felt the pain of being barren, who is prepared to do everything to find a way to give Abraham a child. But ultimately, through that, she acquires her own child, and not only her own child, their child. And this point becomes emphasized in Parshat Vayera, in chapter 21. We see the unbelievable joy, the ecstasy, which Sarah feels at having been given birth to this child. We also see how much her life is tied up with this child. And that point becomes accentuated when, as Yitzhak is growing up, there is an incident where Sarah sees Yishmael being mitzachek in chapter 21 in Bereishit. And it's not clear what he's doing. And right now I would like to adopt one interpretation which Rashi brings up. Yishmael is taunting Isaac, saying, "You are not the heir. I am the heir. I am the firstborn. I also did a Brit Milah. In fact, I did a Brit Milah when I was 13, which is much more of a test." Yishmael wants to take on the persona of Isaac. He wants to be the heir. Sarah sees that. Sarah goes to Abraham, and once again, she speaks. She takes an initiative. She tells Abraham, in no uncertain terms, "You must get rid of the maidservant and her son, because that son of the maidservant will not be the heir with my son." What she's telling Avram should be very, very clear. That's exactly the point which God made in chapter 17. It's a very painful statement for Avram to hear, because Yishmael is his son. He's not just the son of the maidservant. And yet God then comes in and says, "Listen to Sarah. Listen to her voice. Whatever she tells you, you shall do." And in the end, Avram sends away Yishmael. And by sending away Yishmael, Abraham is solidifying, as I said, in no uncertain terms, that Isaac is the child of the covenant, that Isaac is his heir. This is the life of Sarah. Sarah sacrifices in her life in order to be able to have a child, in order to be able to be part of that covenantal relationship. But she doesn't just merit to have a child. She does everything to guarantee that that child will be, for sure, the child of the covenant, that there will be no question about it. Her whole life revolves around being the mother of the heir. I want to end with something which is in our parsha, which I think is the ultimate tribute to Sarah. When Sarah dies, Abraham engages in what we might call typical and maybe even petty Middle Eastern negotiations to buy a burial plot for Sarah. And that's essentially the major topic of chapter 23 in our Parsha. how Avram succeeds in purchasing a burial plot for Sarah. But as I've noted in another podcast, the negotiations are really not about a burial plot. The negotiations are about Avraham purchasing a foothold in the land of Israel. One might even say laying out his claim to the land of Israel. And when Avraham purchases the burial plot for Sarah, this is what begins to establish the Jewish people, to connect the Jewish people with the land of Israel. This is what then sets the tone for what will happen later on. That will be the Jewish people taking possession of the land of Israel. How appropriate it is that the first step, in taking possession of the land of Israel is purchasing a burial plot for Sarah. As I noted earlier, there is an unbreakable bond between the Jewish people and the land of Israel in chapter 15 and the covenant between the parts. I would even say more than that. What guarantees the continuity of the Jewish people is their connection to the land of Israel. Sarah, as the mother of the heir, as the mother of Yitzchak, whose whole life was ultimately for the purpose of guaranteeing Jewish continuity, so that it would not just be that there is Avraham and Sarah who were the first Jews, but there will be a follow-up. And the follow-up was not only in having a child, but in nurturing that child, in protecting that child, in making sure that that child is established. How fitting it is that in her death, she becomes the vehicle for establishing the foothold of the Jewish people in the land of Israel, which ultimately is what guarantees that continuity. So that Sarah, in her life and in her death, is the person to whom we owe Jewish continuity. Shabbat Shalom.
Thank you, Rabbi Schweiger. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.